That's how I am, too. Carol is just so anxious, and she hates flying in the first place.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Krosius and Fedorchak. So we have a quorum, and I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is about 10:03 on Wednesday, May 10th, 2017. We have quite a vigorous schedule today, so I'm just my only opening comments would be to point out that a couple weeks ago, but I believe it was right after the regularly scheduled meeting, we did take the next step. We received approval of some wind farm decommissioning rule changes. The Attorney General's office approved the legality of them. Those were submitted to Legislative Council, and I presume will be on the next meeting of the Rules Committee, whatever the exact title of that Rules Committee is, that I presume typically meets in June. So I'm looking forward to that. Opening comments, Commissioner Krosius?
Just go real quickly. Good morning. It's been a really busy 2 weeks here at the PSC. The legislative session, of course, is now complete. And we continue to work really hard on the issues that are being put forth before the commission. I'm on week 7, and I'll probably stop saying that because everyone has been tracking it. But one thing in particular relates to the budget for the upcoming biennium. And we know that reduced revenues for state government means we have to find new efficiencies in order to not only maintain but grow the level of service we provide to the public. Our budget decreased by $3.1 million for the upcoming biennium from 22.2 to 19.1. So we've got some work to do, but I'm confident that we will become increasingly more efficient and be good stewards of taxpayer funds. Not without challenges, but we will certainly do the work that needs to be done.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Well, thank you both. just a brief comment about some conversations we've initiated with the MISO organization, Midwest Independent System Operator. They run the electric grid in North Dakota and I believe it's 13 other states. Jerry, how many states? 13-ish states from here to the Gulf of Mexico. And so they have a huge role to play in reliability, and so we're working closely with MISO. There's been so much talk during the legislative session, and since then there's been letters to the editor going on being run statewide on different topics related to wind and renewable energy development. And the commission is really largely neutral when it comes to fuel sources. Our goal here is to make sure that citizens have reliable utility services at the lowest possible price. And that's been my focus here at the commission. And through that, this group called MISO has a pretty significant role to play in making sure that this electricity is delivered to citizens, and they run the markets, and they dispatch energy based on its lowest cost. And we've been having a lot of conversations with MISO. We've initiated this in the last probably 6 weeks. I was out there last week. We had them here earlier this week, and we're really talking to them about how in this whole transformation that's occurring on the electric grid, and the incorporation of a lot more renewables into the grid, how are we, and are we looking close enough at the baseload resources, and how are we ensuring that those baseload resources are being compensated for everything that they contribute to the grid? What they add are things that are somewhat different than the wind and renewable resources. And so we've initiated a conversation. It's probably going to be a long conversation. I would estimate that it'll last for the next couple of years with MISO. And they are embarking on some studies of this very issue to see whether their market currently currently reflects the many benefits that the baseload generators like the coal plants and the nuclear plants are offering onto the market and to the stability of the grid. Because frankly, we're hearing from those operators that they aren't getting compensated in a way that is probably sustainable for them for the long term. So I just wanted to throw that out there just as a placeholder, just to let you know that this is something that's going on. It's something we'll be working on long term. And as things develop, we'll check in and report to you and hopefully you through to the consumers, because this is one important way that the electricity service that they count on every single day is remain reliable and affordable long term. And so we have to work with our partners like MISO to make sure that we can deliver those kinds of services. So with that, I'll pass it back to you, Mr. Chairman.
I move the passage of the previous minutes, the approval of the previous minutes, and 8 consent agenda items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, moving into the regular agenda then. I move the commission execute contract AM-777-17 with S&S Drilling Incorporated in the amount of $199,000 for rotary drilling and other services for the 2017 Exploratory Drilling AML project at abandoned underground coal mines.
Second.
In early February, the AML division issued an invitation for bids for rotary drilling and drill hole casing at these abandoned underground mines. This project involves drilling to locate the abandoned mine workings, primarily along public roads and near homes and residential areas. Rose Glen, Shell Lake, Noonan, Foxholm, Newtown, and Burlington areas. Competitive sealed bidding procedures were used, and 2 responsive bids were received. The low bid was from S&S Drilling of Williston in the amount of $199,000. The other bid was for just over $215,000. We'd actually estimated this project of over $300,000, so both bids were in under what our expectation were. The notice of intent to award a contract to S&S Drilling was issued on March 15th. The other bidder did not appeal that intent to award. The signed contract has been returned, and we've also received the performance and payment bonds, a certificate of liability insurance, and the other materials that were requested. So the contract is now ready for execution by the commission, and the AML division does have, I point out, sufficient funds for current OSM grants for this and other projects planned in 2017.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will just point out Noonan, one of my favorite little, what used to be a coal mining town, a little bit of history. It was once known as the White City because back in their heyday many years ago, they actually had an ordinance that all the buildings had to be painted white. Julie looks like she could have come from
been
there
in,
maybe at one
been
time.
In at Noonan today? I'm supposed to look angelic.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC2, I move the commission publish notice of the 2017-2018 telecommunications relay service surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota. Public Service Commission telecommunications relay service miscellaneous case. Case number PU-17-168.
Second.
Back in 1993, Governor Schaefer approved House Bill number 1028 that established a program to provide specialized telecom services and equipment to the communications impaired. The Relay Services Program is funded by an access line surcharge paid by the customers of local exchange companies and radio communications service providers. The Relay Services Program is administered by the Information Technology Department of the state, Before June 1st of each year, though, the PSC calculates the amount of the surcharge based on cost data and other information provided by ITD. The Commission has calculated the 2017-18 surcharge to be concluded on customers' bills at 4 cents per access line per month, and this has been the amount for quite a number of years.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I always like it when we do this because we talk about Ed Schaefer, and it always reminds me of how fun he was to work with. So once a year, his name appears in our motions.
Were you there already in
I was not.
That part of his first term?
No.
It's interesting, and I thought about this in planning for the meeting. Next year will actually be the 25th anniversary of this, and while a lot of people don't think about it, and it's only 4 cents, so they probably don't notice it on their bill. But if you have a communications impairment and are benefiting from the equipment and such that are provided by this, it's a huge deal. It was an important bill, and we're coming up next year. It'll be the 25th anniversary of it.
We should invite him here.
I think we definitely need to do that.
Anniversary motion.
Yes.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC3, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for comment in Budget Prepay Incorporated, designated eligible carrier, cancellation of application, case number PU-17-175.
Second.
On December 12th of 2012, just before Commissioner Fedorchak and I arrived here, the Commission designated Budget Prepay Incorporated as an eligible telecommunications carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income customers in the study areas of Quest Corporation and SRT Communications. So that would be generally the Minot and surrounding areas. On April 26th of this year, the Commission received Budget's application to relinquish the ETC designation and to discontinue the provision of wireless service. Under federal law, the Commission shall permit a carrier to relinquish their ETC designation for an area served by more than one eligible carrier. Prior to permitting a carrier to cease providing service in an area, the Commission must require the remaining eligible carrier or carriers to ensure that all customers served by the relinquishing carrier will continue to be served and shall require sufficient notice to permit the purchase or construction of adequate facilities by the remaining eligible carriers. So Budget states it has less than 40 subscribers in North Dakota. This comment period will allow the other carriers to comment if they have issues. We will receive written comments in this proceeding until close of business on June 23rd of this year.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC4, I move the Commission submit the 2018 Administration and Enforcement Grant application to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement to request federal funds that are needed to carry out the coal regulatory program for the next one-year grant period that begins July 1st of this year and ends June 30th of 2018.
Second.
So this is an example of how some things within the federal government have been working in recent years, so listen closely. Normally, the Office of Surface Mining announces the federal grant allocations to the states early in the year, and then the states would submit their grant request based on those allocations. Due to the current uncertainties in the federal budget, OSM has been unable to provide a grant allocation estimate to the states of how much money will be available for this upcoming grant period that, as I said, starts in just a couple months. While they anticipate that adequate funding for the state grants will be available, they previously requested that the states not submit their grant applications until the grant allocations were known. Then, on May 4th, the OSM Casper Field Office suggested that we do submit the 2018 grant application based on our projected budget needs, so it will be ready for processing once the grant allocations are known. The amount of our grant application, including the state share, is $1,554,121. This includes both direct and indirect costs. Of this total, the federal share is just over $994,000, and the state share is just over $559,000. The federal-state funding split will be 64% federal and 36% state, based on OSM's federal lands funding formula. That is a locked-in split. This formula considers the federal coal acreage in existing permits and pending applications that will permit new acreage. The operating items proposed in the 2018 grant budget are about half of the total operating funds that were budgeted for the Reclamation Division for the 2017-19 biennium, because this is a one-year grant period as opposed to our two-year biennial budget. The approved indirect cost rate for the 2017-19 biennium of 33.41% was used in the grant application. And that, again, that 33.41%, that is a set and an approved amount.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a flurry of activity in my portfolio, many of it related to wind, so I think flurry is the appropriate term to use. for my first agenda item, I move the Commission deem the application for a second amendment to Certificate of Site Compatibility complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in EDF Renewable Development, Inc., Maricourt Wind Power Project Siting Application Case Number PU-08-932.
Second.
A public hearing on the application in this case is scheduled for June 28th at 10:30 a.m. Central Time at City Hall in Ashley, North Dakota. On May 27th of 2015, the Commission issued the first amended certificate, number 23, to EDF Renewable Development, Inc., authorizing a revised site plan for its proposed 150-megawatt Maricourt wind project consisting of up to 75 turbines and associated facilities with a project area in Dickey and McNash counties of North Dakota. And then on March 3rd of this year, EDF filed an application for a second amendment to Certificate of Site Compatibility, requesting some further site plan revisions and turbine location flexibility within the original within the project boundaries and extending the project boundaries. So we've scheduled a public hearing on this case, as I said, on June 28th in Ashley to go through all of this with the public in that community. Basically, the project remains the same size. It will be, they're proposing 150-megawatt total project. And the number of turbines remains the same at 75 with 66 alternate turbine locations. But there it will interconnect at the same place and have the same interconnect agreement. But revisions to the previous project boundary have increased the project area from approximately 10,960 acres to a little over 13,000 acres. The addition of those acres did not add any new landowners to the project. So the project map looks considerably different, and I think it's kind of important to note that they're eliminating a whole section that was up to the north and the west of the original project, removing all of those potential turbine locations and proposing to move them to a different part on the southeast area of the project, or connecting to that portion of the project. And this was in response to conversations they had with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife regarding ways to mitigate some bird impacts. So we will have this hearing in the end of June, and look forward to having good conversation with the public on this project.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to add, or to further emphasize, you know, that some of these wind farms, maybe all of them over the years, you know, as their nearing construction and even during construction, they find reasons to alter a few turbine sites a little bit, and sometimes that's done with staff approval. I think there's been some that we've approved. This is kind of different in the scale of the changes here. I didn't actually count the turbines, but it looks to me like roughly a third of them are outside of the original site approved area, and not by a little bit. I think some of them are a couple miles from the original area. And so while this the company says that these are all the same property owners, it can be a whole different group of people that have sight or noise or shadow flicker implications from this. It is significantly different than the previous application. And one of the things I want to explore during the hearing is whether this should be an amendment to the original approval or whether the new part of this should, in fact, be a whole separate certificate.
I think that's a good question, and look forward to having that conversation. Regardless of where we fall on that decision, I want to visit with the company and hopefully get their agreement that they will bring this project in under the new rules that have been passed, and so that the whole project itself, because it hasn't been constructed at all, would be subject to the latest rules on decommissioning that have been approved by the commission. And I think that's the best way moving forward to have consistency. And since there hasn't been any ground broke, it seems appropriate to me that they should be complying with the latest rules. But we'll have that conversation with them, and hopefully we'll see things the same way.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission adopt the order of continuing suitability in Meadowlark Wind 1, LLC, New Frontier Wind Energy Project, McHenry County, citing application case number PU-11-69.
Second.
On April 25th of 2012, the North Dakota Public Service Commission issued Certificate of Site Compatibility number 29 to Meadowlark Wind, LLC, for the New Frontier Wind Project in McHenry County, North Dakota. On November 22nd of 2016, they filed with the Commission a Certificate of Continuing Site Suitability with supporting documentation. On December 14th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing on this issue. No requests for a hearing were received. We did have an informal hearing on this matter on February 7th here at the commission, and had a good conversation with the company about this project, their current plans, and any potential changes that they anticipate for the project. The new site plan is mostly unchanged, except there will be a few less turbines now moving forward. So some of the approved sites have been abandoned. There's 49 remaining sites. 9 of those have been shifted some. The most was 107 feet. And the project area is being reduced slightly to remove some areas that are not being used. No new or exclusion or avoidance areas are affected. No noise and shadow. The noise and shadow flickers studies have been rerun, and they've received waivers from 5 residences that have noise levels that exceed the 50 decibels or more, 100 feet from their residence. And they also received waivers from 5 participating residences that had shadow flicker impacts greater than 30 hours per year. The closest turbine to a non-participating residence is 2,469 feet, and the closest to a participating resident is 1,423 feet. So in this order, we specify that Meadowlark shall construct no more than 49 turbines, no more than 102 megawatts within the designated site. All the turbines shall be at least 1,400 feet from currently occupied residences. The shadow flicker should be 30 hours a year per less at currently occupied residences unless a written acknowledgement or waiver is obtained from the landowner. And they also have agreed to use commercially reasonable efforts to install an aircraft detection and lighting system or other suitable lighting technology on the project by December 31st of 2019 or upon commencement of operation, whichever is later. And if modifications are made to the project, because they don't exactly know when they're going to begin construction, so additional modifications could be made, they shall complete a Class 3 cultural resource survey for any previously unsurveyed portions. They'll submit that to the SHPO and file a copy of the SHPO's response with the commission. They'll complete a wetland delineation study of any unsurveyed areas and file that with the commission. They'll conduct a sound analysis and file that with the commission. And they'll conduct a shadow flicker analysis and file that with the commission. So with all those contingencies in place, this project seems in order, and I'm ready to support this motion today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission deem complete the applications for a corridor certificate and a route permit conditioned upon receiving from the applicant at least 30 days prior to the public hearing in this case the following: geographic information system layers for its survey area boundaries and all exclusion, avoidance, and other critical elements shown on the applicant's Appendix A figures, a Class 3 cultural resources survey report and status of the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office concurrence, a wetlands delineation report, Senex's construction environmental program, Senex's unanticipated discovery plan, spill history for Senex facilities, Senex's emergency procedures plan, Senex's spill response plan, Senex's erosion control plan, and Senex's storm water pollution prevention plan. And I further move the commission issue a notice of filings and public hearing in Senex Pipeline LLC 10-inch refined fuels pipeline, Williams, Montreal, Ward counties, citing application.
Second.
Well, there's a lot of items that the company must file, and I want to note again that they're required to file these 30 days prior to the public hearing for this new pipeline. We've set the public hearings for July 24th at 10 a.m. Central Time at the Sleep Inn in Minot, and July 25th at 9 a.m. Central Time at Tioga City Hall in Tioga. This pipeline, as you heard, is a nearly 150-mile pipeline in North Dakota, a 10-inch diameter refined petroleum products pipeline and associated facilities that will traverse three counties in North Dakota. We look forward to having good public discussion about this pipeline. A little bit of background on this pipeline. Senex currently operates a pipeline that transports refined fuels from Laurel, Montana to Fargo. The pipeline, the Laurel to Glendive portion of the pipeline, was originally constructed in 1954. And then in 1960, they expanded that from Glendive to Minot. And then in 1991, the portion from Minot to Fargo was completed. For the last couple of decades, Senex has replaced its pipeline systems in the Montana side of this pipeline and has been replaced all the way up to Sydney now at this point. And they're now proposing to replace and reroute what is the existing 8-inch pipeline between Sydney and Minot with this 10-inch pipeline that will run from Sydney, north of Sydney, crossing the Missouri River in Montana in a different location north of Sydney, and then run east to Minot, passing north of Williston. The company said in their application that they chose this route to minimize the amount of construction taking place in sensitive areas while also avoiding difficult river crossings and numerous other engineering and land use challenges. They are replacing this pipeline because they've been working hard to maintain the integrity of the older pipeline. It's just time to replace it with newer pipe and newer technology. The proposed pipeline is needed to accommodate an increased demand for refined fuels in the region, so you see them increasing it from 8 inches to 10 inch, and to reduce the level of maintenance required to safely operate the pipeline system. The total pipeline is 100. The total pipeline project is 181.5 miles. 150 miles of that is in North Dakota. So again, we look forward to a rigorous public discussion on this pipeline, and have because of the length of it, we've scheduled two public hearings and encourage the public to come out and attend those hearings and talk with us about their thoughts and concerns on this issue, on this project, and how we might best be able to site it to minimize impact.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate under North Dakota Administrative Code, Section 6902.04.04, the joint applications of Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation / QEP Field Services, LLC, for transfer of site certificate citing application case number PU17-117, and transfer of certificate number 24 and permit number 124 and permit number 133, citing application case number PU-17-157, and issue a notice of opportunity for a consolidated hearing.
Second.
In 2014, the Commission issued a certificate of site compatibility to Whiting Oil and Gas for the construction, operation, and maintenance of 110 million cubic feet per day gas processing plant, the Robinson Lake Gas Plant in Montreal County. On October of 2011, the Commission issued a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for the construction, operation, and maintenance of a 6.8-mile, 8-inch pipeline in Billings and Stark Counties, North Dakota, for the transmission of crude oil. On March 29, 2017, Whiting and QEP filed a joint application for the transfer of the certificates of site compatibility. And they filed a on April 21st of this year, they filed a joint application for the transfer of the certificate of corridor compatibility and the route permit for the pipeline. So we're seeking to consolidate these into one hearing. The issues to be considered are whether QEP agrees and is able to comply with the terms and conditions of all of these permits, and whether the requested transfer is compatible with public interest. Comments and requests for a hearing must be received by June 23rd, and if appropriate, the Commission can determine this matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, thank you, Darrell. My final motion, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Glacier Ridge Wind Farm, LLC, Glacier Ridge Wind Farm Project, Barnes County Siting Application, case number PU-16-539.
Second.
On December 7th, the Commission issued a certificate of site compatibility for Glacier Ridge Wind Farm, designating a site for phase one of their project in Barnes County. A decision concerning designation of a site for plan phase two was held in abeyance while Glacier obtained site control documents. On January 30th, they filed a motion to lift the stay with respect to the decision on phase two. So basically, they want to come back now and get a certificate for phase two of the project. They have reported that they have site control for all of the phase two facilities consisting of up to 35 wind turbines in Barnes County, as shown on the map attached to this notice of opportunity for hearing. So comments and requests for a hearing must be received by June 23rd of 2017. If appropriate, we can determine this matter without a hearing. It's important to note that we did have a pretty extensive public hearing on this entire project area back in last fall sometime. I can't remember the exact date. But there was quite a lot of public interest in that hearing. It was a pretty lengthy hearing. I want to say we were in the community for 6 to 8 hours talking about this project. And so, you know, barring a request for another hearing, we could very well just have a more informal with the company on this matter and provide an order without a full hearing. But but the public is certainly welcome to request a hearing, and we will definitely take those requests seriously.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That's it for me. Thank you.
That concludes the regular agenda items that we have for today. For announcements, we had an informal schedule for this afternoon, actually two different cases, but kind of regarding the same thing, regarding MDU potentially providing gas service to Ransom, parts of Sargent and Ransom counties. That has been postponed. I don't know if we have a new date confirmed yet or not, whether I believe it's next Tuesday morning. Do we have a time?
10:30.
Tuesday morning at 10:30. Those are cases PU-17-123 and PU-17-144. Again, that will be at 10:30 on Tuesday, May 16th. And the other announcement I'll make, because since it will fall before our next regular scheduled meeting, on Friday, May 19th, case number PU-17-48, which is Arrow Field Services. This would be two different natural gas pipelines, a 10-inch and an 8-inch. It's all within McKenzie County. The hearing is going to be held by an administrative law judge and by staff. It will be at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City at 11 a.m. Those are the only announcements that I have. So with that, the commission will stand in recess for questions from the press, followed by a five-minute break, at which point we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting.
Okay, working from the last item, Glacier Ridge, you're talking about phase two?
Correct.
How many phases have they proposed?
Well, originally they proposed, it was one project. What was the total megawatts, Jerry, for that? About 100. Oh, it was? Oh, I don't think it was that big.
It was 300.
Oh, it was?
The application.
Okay. Thank you, Randy. So they didn't, when we had the hearing, they didn't have, all that they needed to assure us that they could actually, they didn't have all the easements for all the turbine leases. Proposed turbine locations. And so we just didn't feel comfortable providing them an order to construct in the entire area. So they basically partitioned off a portion of the project that was still where they're still working on securing the easements, and we gave them a certificate for the part that they did have all of the documentation in order for. Now they've secured everything for this, the part that they partitioned off, and are seeking a order for that. So it really wasn't originally planned in several phases, but we ended up having to do it in phases.
So is the final rated capacity 300 megawatts?
Let me get the exact.
Okay.
No problem.
That's right. This was the one that was bigger just in one chunk than what we've normally proposed. We do have the Bison project that's larger than this in total because they've done it in four phases. But this one was intended to be the largest single, and now we broke it up into two, so it really wasn't.
This one also, interesting, it would use larger turbines than any of the other ones that we have going as well. Mm-hmm.
It was this one bubbled up locally, and the locals really worked on this project for many, many years and then tried to get a developer to help them finish it out and are still working on securing a buyer and an interconnect agreement. At least they were, as of when we had our hearing, still working on a buyer for the power and an interconnect agreement.
Also, do you have a cost on the Senex pipeline?
Yeah, that one is about $200 million, but I need to double. I meant to write that down. Hold on, I might have that. I'll double check that, Dave. I meant to look that one up.
What's the construction timeline on that, and if approved?
Let's see. Hold on.
I believe they wanted to start this year yet and be finished by next year for operation in 18, but I'm just going from memory from going through that app. Start construction.
Thanks, Pat. And Randy?
What are those hearing dates for that again?
The hearing dates are July 24th at 10 a.m. at the Sleep Inn in Minot. July 25th at 9 a.m. at City Hall in Tioga.
What pipeline is this again, I guess, for background?
It's a refined products pipeline, so gasoline gets from their refineries in Laurel, Montana, and it delivers gas all along the way and ends up in Fargo. Okay.
Gas and diesel.
And diesel, yes, gas and diesel.
So this is a rather old line. They're just kind of updating it section by section, basically?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys anticipating any issues with this, or does this seem pretty straightforward to you guys on its face?
Well, on its face, it's you know, seems very similar to all of our pipeline projects, but I would expect that there'll be folks that don't like it just because there are folks that don't like fossil fuel pipelines. And so we will prepare for folks to participate who might be opposed. And I think it's important in all future pipelines, crude oil or fossil fuel pipelines, to not go into it naively. I think that we know there's opponents out there on these projects, and we want to have a very open and transparent hearing. We want to hear from everybody, and we want to provide a really good venue for that, and we will, and we have always done that. Everyone will get a chance to speak, but we also aren't going to be naive in thinking that there can't be opposition, that some of it can't get out of hand, and we'll be prepared for that as well.
And Commissioner, correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as, you know, what potential there could be for opposition, a good chunk of this is not being just like dug up and relocated in the same corridor or anything. The existing pipeline, I believe, goes through some of the federal lands and tribal lands and such. And then crosses the lake now where it's wider, where this will start off going further north near the Minnesota or the Montana North Dakota border, get around the Missouri way out there, and so it's it's many miles away from the existing corridor, and so new group of landowners and areas, so I guess we just won't know until the hearing what kind of opposition could pop up.
So this is kind of avoiding some of those areas that could cause delays or potential fights, I guess, to an extent?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The company attempted to address a lot of those sensitivities in their routing, and they rerouted away from some of those areas. And so it's, you don't have the benefit of going through an existing corridor, but also when the existing corridor presents some problems for you, it in this case, the company found it, obviously thought it was better to pick a different corridor. And so that's what they've done.
Do you know about approximately how many extra miles this might create going around with a new route compared to the original?
I don't. It's $160 million.
Is what, 160?
Yeah. Seems low.
And this
it's
not a real. It's not some making some real indirect route. I don't think it would be a lot longer than what's existing either. Basically, getting from point A to point B, just there's not much difference. I don't think.
Was that number? Did you say 160 million, or was that?
Yes, correct.
Okay, making sure.
Yeah, I don't have the existing route list shown on here, but they go up north of Williston, and then they do come back down a bit, so it might be a little bit longer.
A few
but
miles.
Yeah. And you know, you'll notice in all the studies that we asked for ahead of time, those are things that we just sometimes those have come out in the hearings and we've asked for them for late filed exhibits. But this is stuff that we know that we're going to want to talk about. So we're asking for it up front. And also there's documents like their spill response plan and their spill history that are things that the public might be interested in seeing too and having a chance to absorb before the hearing as well.
There's seven pipelines in the consent agenda. I was just wondering, are any of them connecting to Dakota Access?
Those pipelines are pipelines that have been cited and approved, and now we're just they're not new. Those are the work is done with those, and we're returning what remained of their application fees. So those are nothing new. I don't know. I'd have to go through them one by one to see if they connect, but there's no new connectors included in there.
And is there an update on the MDU rates?
On the rate case? Yeah, no, you know what, I was going to check with staff on that and see where we're at on getting the proposed order, but we don't have that on today's agenda, obviously, but it shouldn't be too much longer.
Back on wind for a second, the Maricourt wind project is fairly ancient, comparatively speaking, because your order's dated 08.
Say that again.
The original order was in 08.
Right. Yeah. Well,
that's kind of a project that's been pending for a few years, more than a few.
Right. Yeah, that's how these some of these wind projects have evolved, where they've just developed. They didn't find a developer. They've kind of been stagnant for a while, and now there's a whole bunch more interest in wind power right now, I think because the production tax credits are going away and being phased out, and projects realize, like, if they're going to come to fruition, they want to try to secure the 100% production tax credit, which many of these projects have done in various ways for, that expired in 2016.
Sort of like last call on a Saturday night.
Like, isn't Xcel involved with that now?
I don't believe so. Are they? No.
No.
I don't.
They were.
Pardon?
They were,
but not now. Okay. Yeah. And then the order of continuing suitability. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I think we've done one other of those, Jerry. Or two? It was for wind? Have we done it for something else? Because I feel like we've gone through that process before. The orders have a five-year lifespan, four-year lifespan, and then they have to come and that's a part of the law where they have to show that they are continuing to be suitable and they have to go through that process. And so there might be others out there that have an older certificate that have to go through the same thing, but it would apply for pipelines or any siting certificate.
Anything else? John, you've been quiet.
Did you let the Chief Justice know about the Noonan project?
Noonan project.
No, we'll probably have to make sure he's aware of that,
yes,
I suppose.
Yes.
Give him a heads up.
Okay, so we'll take a few minutes. We'll reconvene for the admin portion of the meeting at 10:58.